All right, what's up, my people? You're listening to Brandi Grayson on the Black Conversion Show with my boy, my cousin, my on-air husband, Clyde, hey, cousin Clyde, Uncle Clyde, yeah. Clyde.
Morning.
On 92.7 FM, WMDX. We're super excited to be back in the studio. I'm excited because I'm not alone, and when I'm alone, I feel so rejected.
You were never alone.
Cousin Clyde made me feel so rejected last week, leaving
y'all
me
don't listen to Brandi, don't
on
listen
the air.
To Brandi.
Look, and then like when you were prepared to have like a co-host, I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna say this, and cousin Clyde gonna say this, but then I was really by myself looking at Luke, like, Luke, what you gonna say? Luke was like,
Luke held it down. Ooh, I'm sorry.
I just wasn't expecting it. That's all. I did my best.
You like, did. You did really good when we was talking about Trump, so we were good. But Luke, when I got to the black love, Luke was like,
He not wrong. But sis held it down like she always do. But I'm back. What's up?
Just
y'all
like,
can put the applications away. Y'all on my spot, but I'm back. Look.
You a whole hot mess. So one of the things that I promised you guys every week that we're going to talk about is love.
Love.
And one of the reasons, it's not like, well, love is actually pretty political nowadays.
Yeah.
I think everything we do is political and politics. But one of the things that I talked about alone last week on the Black Conversion Show.
She ain't gonna let that go.
I am not. Passive aggressive Brandi. One of the things that we talked, I talked about was how demanding love is.
Yeah.
And how we don't actually get to articulate or communicate or teach how demanding love is. And oftentimes when we watch, you know, when we're conditioned about love, it's like love is kind, love is peace, love is joy, love is fruitful. Like love is like always this thing that should feel happy and good. And reality is love hurts.
It hurts.
And it hurts when you start to love yourself.
It's mean.
It could be mean. And what do you mean by mean? What do you mean? How is love mean?
You know, when I was dating, baby, sometimes.
Well, 2 weeks ago, he was dating. He had dates up. I was dating. Was
okay,
yesterday?
I'm still dating. Now that I'm
okay,
dating,
anyway,
right?
Anyway, get back
it's
to the
like,
mean.
We get to the restaurant mean. And the bill come and the person at like, they not paying the bill. Like, what? How mean is that? Like, pay this bill. No, but for real, love can't be mean in this zone. No, okay, we joke about we trying
God.
To be serious.
Oh
love
my
is
God. I can't
we,
take him nowhere.
Love is not a field of roses
it's not.
And flowers.
It's not. So. It could be very
intense,
and it stretches you.
Mm-hmm.
And I get confused from love because, okay, so just for some context, again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson.
And your favorite cousin, Clyde.
Cousin Clyde. And we're talking about love. So one of the things that I feel like impacts me and my ability to love is my childhood, where I really didn't get an opportunity or a reference point for like positive love or, you know, intimate love where people were safe and they were being heard and they were being taken care of. So I don't have a reference point for that. So I think, you know what I heard the other day that stuck out to me? That your nervous system attracts the people that you're around based on your wounds.
Yeah.
You're like your traumatic, your trauma wounds.
Yeah.
So a lot of us, especially black people, specifically black people, we come from so much trauma. And then we attract partners, friendships, jobs, situationships based on our traumatic and our trauma wounds.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, cousin Clyde? And how does that impact our ability to love if we're in relationships with people with common wounds?
Doing the work that we do, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We show up to spaces and folks gravitate to us. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times those people are people that are going through something, people that need something, people that need a little bit of extra love.
Uh-huh.
And we're always like, I think once we get to our alone time, we're like, I'm so drained, right? Because I've given all of me to the world and no one gave me anything, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, am I showing up as Superman or Superwoman? Am I not showing up as vulnerable as they are? Because people forget that, right?
Yep.
So because that becomes our norm, mm-hmm. we're always showing up like that.
Yeah.
Even when we're down.
So how does that impact relationships, like intimate relationships? So if you're pouring into the world and you like our part of our work, I run Urban Triage. Cousin Clyde runs House Inc., which is a youth focused art nonprofit. You do mm-hmm. theater, dance, and all kind of amazing things and after school programs and all kind of stuff for youth. And that your expression, your work is expression of your mm-hmm. trauma and your desire to give back and to fill those niches yes. and to save, you know, people who from going through what I went through. But
yeah.
in relationships, like an intimate relationship, you go out to the world, you do all this, and then you come back into this relationship, and that relationship is based on your wounds.
Yeah.
So that person also has similar wounds, similar needs. And if you have the same needs and yearnings for like fulfillment in that relationship, mm-hmm. how do you reconcile that? How do you hold space for, like, how do I hold space for a wound that I haven't figured out how to feel
right.
in my partner and they have the same wound? Because usually we end up vomiting on one another, yeah. generally speaking.
And for folks like us, mm-hmm. always being that go-to person and giving so much energy, to be honest, I mm-hmm. think sometimes we don't show up like that for our partners.
Yeah, but how can we?
Because we're so drained.
How can we?
You know what? For me, I've had to step away from commitment mm-hmm. because I feel like my commitment is the people that I serve.
Yeah.
And is that right? No, but that takes a lot of energy every single day, sis. I know you walk in the office and it's like, I have to put so much love into yeah. this work.
Yeah.
This is passion. Mm-hmm. This involves my feelings. But by the time you get home to your partner, mm-hmm. you're drained.
So what part of that is you loving yourself, though? Because mm-hmm. it sounds like, look, I'm the kind of person that goes.
Is we gonna keep it real?
We're gonna keep it real because part of it is like part of loving ourselves is holding space for us to be loved and to receive love and to give love on an intimate level. And if we're pouring all of ourselves into our work, that leaves nothing for later in love, because that's how you can't get love unless you give love. And if you haven't had the practice or accountability to be loving, then what are we doing?
Right.
What is we doing?
Can I
ask
you this?
And I'm not just speaking about him, y'all, because y'all know when I talk, I'm actually talking about
myself. We talk about everybody, right?
Myself, but go ahead.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So, I just kind of lost a train of thought because this is serious. This is a real big conversation.
Yeah, it is.
But do you feel like your trauma response within the work that you do is always seeking to make other people happy, almost
yes.
like people pleasing,
yes.
right?
Oh my God, we did a personality test the other day, and I am a big people pleaser.
Yes. Okay.
Oh my
so
God.
So let's stay right there, right?
Okay, let's
so
stay right there.
So we find within the work that we do, we become huge people pleasers,
yes.
right?
Oh my God.
And when you say, what are we doing to love ourselves?
Yep.
Is it that? Is it when we please people, we are loved? Is that what we consider love? Which naturally to me is, it is, but it's not, right?
But then if you,
because I made those group of people happy and I walk away and be like, I met that mark, I crossed that T, I dotted that I, I got that grant, I got that donor.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the day, you're like, but that pleased them.
Yeah.
It didn't please me.
Yeah.
But pleasing them, is that loving me?
No.
It's not.
No, it's not. I'm such a big people pleaser. So we took these personality tests in our executive leadership team, and my flaws, my weakness, I really had a good profile, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I bet you did, genius. Don't play with them.
My flaws is people pleasing, unfocused, unorganized, and over accommodating.
Mm-hmm.
And my staff was like, oh my God, you over accommodate in your leadership all the time.
Mm.
So then staff later on, like even with people pleasing, they feel entitled because it moves. It feels like, oh, I really appreciate you doing this thing. And then it moves from appreciation to expectation, from expectation to entitlement.
Yeah.
And then after so long, it becomes like, it becomes a toxic interaction, and it doesn't matter if it's with a staff, friend, or in an intimate relationship.
Because that's how everyone looks at you, right?
Yeah.
They don't look at you as human. You know how many times in my walk I have to tell people, I'm human too.
Yep.
I have feelings too.
Yeah.
I don't know how I done showed up to y'all, but to do me like this hurts.
So how do Black people specifically, because we're talking about, you know, love,
Black folks,
and how do we I don't know. How do we navigate that in our relationship? Because we're most likely 9 out of 10.
We can't work full time. That's like, I'm thinking about
and
it right
now. In our utopia world, everybody quit. Yeah. So you can learn how to be present for yourself and your partner. That's just how we gonna roll. Yeah.
We can't work full time no more, right? Like, we cannot do the work that we do 40 hours, 60 hours a week in our sleep, when we go to the bathroom, when we're in the shower. Because, Brandy, you know, I know you know how it go, right?
I know.
You in there taking a shower and you like, okay, I gotta make sure
first
I can be
ready.
First
of all, I'm on a Zoom call in the shower. So.
Yeah. Okay. And I think we got
I'm driving, sending Luke links on my way. Like,
and one
I got
thing,
this.
One thing that me and my executive team just learned with the work that we do, sis, is that we're the pioneers. So we're literally putting our hand and foot in everything that we do. We don't have a blueprint. We don't have no one to lean on. So it's we're drained.
Yeah.
We're literally drained.
So love demands, like I said, love is demanding. So love demands
attention
boundaries.
And well, boundaries.
And boundaries of yourself, because like I have to stop doing that, taking Zoom
calls
in the shower. I need to be present in the shower. I need to allow everything to be let go in the shower. And when it comes to my partner, we struggle, right? And we struggle because we're both come, again, people known as Black, and generally speaking, we come into relationships with very similar wounds, looking for very similar things. So the challenge in our relationships is do we allow ourselves to be expanded, and do we allow ourselves to be this is a hard one. I don't even have the word for it, but do we allow our BS to be put on Front Street? Because in partnerships and relationships, all your crap is pointed out.
Yeah.
You become each other's mirrors. Like, you do this thing, you do that thing I don't like, you don't do enough of this, or you're complacent in this, or, hey, let's talk about sex. Like, I need better sex. Like, all of those conversations could be taxing and demanding, and it could feel like you're under attack when someone's saying, hey, you don't kiss me enough, or you don't hold me enough, or you don't hold space. And when you're coming from a long day of work, when you've poured into everyone else, and your partner demands things of you, like presence, that could feel like an attack.
Yeah.
Like, you don't
so
give me.
So hold my hand. You don't kiss me enough, baby. Look, we don't
love I'm sorry, cuz. We kissing cousins
but
over here.
Okay, right. No, but you're right, right?
Yeah.
And we got to find a way, I think, as high demanding folks, to breathe.
To breathe.
That's it. Like, because what our partners are telling us what they need is important too.
Yeah, I
and
guess.
And sometimes it's hard to.
I know, but it is super hard to like hold space for everybody's needs.
It is.
And I think we need to talk about it enough and talk about how we have to be accountable in our own bull crap, you guys. So we'll be back. We're going to conclude on the love conversation in a sec, but we
I
got some really stuff.
It.
We probably will. but we got some good stuff. You're listening to 92.7 FM, The Black Conversion Show, with your girl, Brandy Grayson, and Cousin Clyde. We'll be back in a jiff. All right, you're back, or we're back. You're back because you're still listening to 92.7 FM WMDX, The Black Conversion Show, with your girl, Brandy Grayson, and my co-host, my cuzzo, my on-air husband, Clyde.
Hey,
Cousin Clyde. So,
gotta put some bass in my voice.
Right, get more man. Because I'm a man,
I'm
Damon.
Like, hey, y'all.
That's how you talk, stop though. It. That's okay. How you talk. Ain't no judgments. So prior to our quick break, we were talking about love and how demanding love is. And it demands that we expand. It demands that we hold space for our partner's wounds. And what I haven't figured out is what elements or personality traits are required of us. Like, what are these attributes that's required of us to hold space for people we love in their wounds, in their nervous system, to help support them in regulating their nervous system? Because that's what love looks like, as we support ourselves. And I know we don't have time to discuss all of that, but I'm just going to keep talking about it. Keep talking about how do we...
I say the dinner table.
The dinner table. At the dinner table.
I feel like in a lot of Black households, and I can't speak for everyone, we didn't practice the dinner table
we
tradition. Not every night. And
I'm
I
just
think
catching
that,
up.
Yeah, and I think that that may be able to help if we start to implement that at least four times a week. Because that's the moment where family is all at the table. So we can check in with each other. How are you doing? Let's have this conversation, versus when we're out in public and what we're talking about right now in public. Yeah. We should have talked about this at home.
Yeah, you're
right?
not. Yeah, I
now
think,
we're fighting. Now I we're bickering, right?
I think that's a really good idea. So bringing back table
Dr.
talk.
Dr. Clyde.
Yeah, okay. Okay, cousin Doc. Okay, cousin Dr. Clyde yeah. with the tools and the skills. Okay. Okay.
Dinner table.
I really like that. And I think what's also very important for people known as Black, and we're not just talking about intimate relationships, we're talking about friendship.
Friendship, children,
family.
Yeah.
It's like we have to be deliberate in our love.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we get so caught up in our own minds, our own mm-hmm. stories, our own scripts, how our own day went, what was hurt, what didn't go well. And then we bring it home and we forget to be deliberate and intentional mm-hmm. in love. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just setting our crap aside and being present and reminding ourselves why we're with the people that we're around. Again, whether it's children or family, whatever, like, I love you because yeah. I'm grateful for you because, and remembering that and being present and that, and also remembering love is a choice.
Yeah.
We really think that love just is this chemical reaction. And for some people, I hear it, like, I've had butterfly for 20 years. Well, a lot of us don't get that experience.
Yeah.
A lot of us have to choose love and choose that person over and over again
yeah.
in the midst of their breakdowns, in the midst of their mistakes, in the midst of them not being perfect. And I will say, for Black women, we have to work extra hard. We got a guest today, Arceli.
Yeah, I'm Arsenio.
Right, okay.
Now we come fucking Arceli. I used to say my name was like somebody else who's a singer who starts with the letter R, but I will not say his name now because I'll probably get in trouble for that too. So, but it's actually Araceli. So,
Ara. The rolling of their tongue. I like that bet. So, you've done Americanized your name, really?
I didn't marry. You all did that. I didn't do that. The moment I was born in Wisconsin, it did that to me.
Araceli.
Okay, Araceli.
But I've always been Araceli.
Introduce yourself, because Selly. God, Jesus Christ.
Oh, I've been called Selly a lot of times too, in the community.
She said Arsenio Hall.
I did say Arsenio Hall. Like, okay.
Okay, please introduce yourself to the folks.
Hey, I came from the comments, and now I'm behind the mic.
Welcome.
Hi. So I'm the founder of Midwest Mujeres, born and raised, poet. What else? Oh, I'm scandalous.
Entrepreneur.
I'm an entrepreneur. I'm scandalous.
A CEO.
A CEO.
A book writer. Aren't you an author?
I am an author.
Yeah, you do a lot of things.
Yes, I do a lot of things. Exactly.
Tell us everything.
I've been nominated twice for most influential Latino Wisconsin.
You got nominated twice by the same people?
No, Madison 365 back in 2015, uh-huh. and then again most recently through the Latino Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, I was about to say, dang, why a Black person can't get nominated twice? They saw me in 2016. Ain't seen me since.
Dang, never seen me, baby. I ain't worthy enough.
We gonna nominate
fine
you
with
next
that.
Year because, you know, they send me a text like, who we gonna nominate? I send them like, these Black people. I got you, Clyde. Next
I've known Brandy though since I was like in my 20s.
Nice.
Yes.
But we ain't gonna say how long ago that was, because I'm still 27.
Okay.
She's still 27. I'm only 28. Okay. Like, no, but I've done a lot of work, social work in the community through Nehemiah as well. Mm. And just done a lot of writing in the world. And I also do podcasting as well and public speaking. I'm a founder of an organization called Midwest Mujeres. Our mission is to close the gender wage gap one story at a time. Mm-hmm. We teach Black and brown women to take the stage, take up space, utilize their stories as a fountain of youth. No, as a fountain for money as well, income streams, all the things.
All right, you're listening to 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl Brandy Grayson and my cousin Clyde.
Hey, y'all.
On the Black Conversion Show. We have a wonderful guest, Arceli. I didn't do the rolling of the tongue. One of our community leaders, entrepreneurs. And prior to, we were just discussing the divide between Black and brown that exists and how we really need to practice engaging in uncomfortable conversations, one, so that we can come to some understandings, and two, creating spaces and holding spaces and telling the stories from our heart. And I believe what you said is we should start the stories with what tagline?
I remember when.
Mm.
Yes.
I remember when. And what does that do again?
I think it brings us up to like who we are to our core. Like, okay. I remember what context. You can take that anywhere.
Yeah.
But that's going to give us a little seed story about who you are and like maybe reflect a little bit about your values, about how you perceive the world.
Like
what out of all of the things that are going in your head, that's the one thing you're coming in today. And that I think will reflect a universal value of which will break down all of those colonized ways of separating us, of thinking, oh, you know, she doesn't doesn't have she doesn't have this or she has that and I want her, what she has and all of that.
But I also y'all don't from my experience, right? My mother is a refugee. She is from Havana, Cuba. So I am black and brown. Mm-hmm. I grew up in
You can be black and brown.
You're Afro-Latina.
I grew up in a household with plantains, black beans and rice. My mother only really spoke Spanish. Mm-hmm. So I've experienced going into the school district where people assume we were just black and spoke English. Mm-hmm. And my mother had to enroll us and get a translator so she could understand the enrollment system and how that held her children back, because now we didn't have a box to sit in, right?
Yes, like, you did. You had a double box.
Yeah, the child can speak English, but the mother can't.
Right.
So now is the child translating for his mother? No, because I didn't speak Spanish, right? So one thing that I knew that I do know from experience within the Latino culture in Madison is that racism do exist. Like you said, do you speak Spanish? How dark is your skin color? Do Hispanics really like each other? Do Cubans like Puerto Ricans? Do Puerto Ricans like Mexicans?
Ooh, and what y'all ain't about to have them blowing up our spot.
Baby, I'll tell you from experience, right? And I'm sat in, because we're dark Latinos, I've sat in a lot of...
This is Brandi Grayson, okay. Disclaimer. What they saying, I am not approving.
I said it.
It's true, though.
But
what
I've sat in Latino circles They are also racist to black people.
Well, okay, so they're not racist. They are anti-black.
Yeah.
They are anti-black, but we call it racist.
Yeah, oh, baby.
We say that to each other. We're like, don't be that way. But then again, we'll say, like, indio to each other también.
Yeah.
So it goes always.
Just for our listeners, Arceli is a community organizer, an entrepreneur, and business owner, and she is definitely Latina, okay?
Yes.
Well, Chicana.
Chicana? Yeah. And what's the difference?
Well, Latina is, like, for all of, like, Latin America and Portuguese and Brazil, even though they speak Spanish. So some of us speak Spanish, some of us don't. And it's like, we represent like whatever, 18, 32 countries, I forget. And but Chicana means that you were born in this country and that you are of Mexican descent.
Okay.
But it's more politicized. It came out like during the 1960s as like, you know, sisters to the Black Power movement.
So what is Latinx?
Okay, we're going to have to get into Latinx in a minute because we're going to have to.
We're going to have to be back on that.
So you can break down the X and the A, okay?
Yeah.
You're listening to the Black Conversion Show. All right. It's your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show. I'm in the house with my cousin, Clyde.
Hey,
and we have a guest, Arceli. So thank you guys for staying tuned. So what I wanted to do is like move us along. So we've talked about Black love. We've talked about, you know, trauma. We've talked about some key things about being deliberate in our love for each other in relationships, personal, family, leadership, and all of that. Because how we are anywhere is how we are everywhere. Okay. And then we've also talked about brown and black, how we are disconnected and we really need to work on that. We also defined the difference. I don't know if we did, but racism and anti-black. So just for clarity's sake for our listeners, if you're black, brown, or non-white, you cannot be racist. Okay. You could be anti-black. You could be prejudiced. You could be discriminatory, but you can't be racist. Racism requires power. And in the context of white supremacy in America, there's only one group of folks who hold power, and that's white people, starting with white men, usually old white men, you know, but we'll talk about that later with your boy Trump and Biden. Biden's so old, he looked like he just about to fall
catch
out.
Us next show.
Okay, right. We're going to talk more about Biden. Poor Biden. I just want to hug him. And we want to love on him. We're going to talk about his trip to next Saturday to Madison, because he's in town last week or next week or whatever. But we'll talk about him, because I think I'm going to be there, actually. So we'll talk about that later.
And follow up on that.
Yep. And we'll follow up on that. But so what I want to move us into is this Supreme Court justice decision. And just so you guys know, this, I think it's a big deal, but I don't know if it's a big deal. But let's take a listen to this clip that we pulled. It's called the, they overturned the Chevron doctrine, which basically said like, hey, there's certain agencies and entities that get to have a say on, to help control corporations, what they do, how they mm-hmm. dump toxics into water, what they put in our food. But this Supreme Court decision is a big one. Can we listen to the clip real quick, Luke? Thanks.
The Supreme Court has officially overturned Chevron deference. Mm. This is probably one of the most important Supreme Court decisions in modern history. And if you don't know what Chevron is, that's okay. They don't really teach it in schools, but I'll explain it to you. I graduated from Yale Law School, where I focused in constitutional law, so I'll try to decode this rather simply because you need to know how this works. So basically, Chevron deference dates all the way back to 1984 in the Reagan era. It was a major Supreme Court case having to do with the EPA, where the court essentially ruled that where a rule or statute is ambiguous, the federal courts must defer to an agency's interpretation of that rule. Most day-to-day life and functions for you and I are run by federal agencies. For example, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, makes rules about clean air and the environment. The FDA makes rules about food, the CDC, the Department of Education, the Department of Transportation. We have the FBI, the IRS, the VA, the list goes on and on. They essentially run our country, and that's who we, the people, interact with the most. Now, here's the kicker. The leaders of these agencies are not elected. They're appointed by the executive branch, the president, which means when a president or the administration changes, the rules and the leaders of the agencies generally change. So they'll flip-flop from Democrat to Republican, and back again. Anyway, most Republicans and libertarians absolutely despise Chevron deference. They believe it gives government and agencies way too much power, and especially for people who are not elected. Still, the idea is that these people are experts, doctors, scientists, whoever, and they should know best how to interpret the rules. And because there are so many rules and so many functions and so many people in the United States, it just makes sense to have experts and specialists cover them. But the court today completely did away with that and said, nope. The case is Loper Bright Enterprises versus Raimondo, who is the Secretary of Commerce. The court's holding is highlighted below. The APA requires courts to exercise their independent judgment in deciding whether an agency has acted within its statutory authority, and courts may not defer to an agency's interpretation of a law simply because a statute is ambiguous. Chevron is overruled. The decision was split 6-3, conservatives on one side.
Okay, let's stop this recording. I want to help y'all understand what she's saying. Let's put it in lamest terms here. So Chevron deference, I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but this overturning of this decision basically says that we used to go to EPA or FBI or, you know, CIA.
FDA
or
with
FDA
the food. That
with
we,
the food.
Yeah.
To say, hey, can this company, can Catalog or, you know, Nestle,
Johnson,
can they dump their toxins into Lake Michigan? Before the agency would say, no, they cannot, because based on the interpretation of this statute, right? So they're the experts. They're the people who follow the law. I mean, study the law, study the statutes. So overturning this basically says, like, hey, we don't, the corporations don't have to listen to their interpretations anymore. Yep. And that they could actually make a decision for themselves whether something is legal or liable, right? So there's no enforcement to hold the corporations accountable. But this is my thing. I'm not going to do like a devil's advocate, but I want to say this. We exist in a capitalistic society where everything is already ran and predetermined, in my opinion. So having these agencies, like when Biden win or if Trump win, they get to choose the leaders of these agencies and, you know, the folks with the expertise. So they actually are deciding the interpretations, right?
Yeah.
Because if I choose you, Clyde, to represent me as the leader of finances, right? Let's just call it finance. Your job is to make sure, in my opinion, because my agenda is always black, right? So I want to make sure I appoint people that's going to carry out my black agenda, right?
Yeah.
And black agenda meaning focus on black people, centering the most marginalized, which
like
is
the
black
urban
people.
Housing development.
Right. Center, right. I will point you, and you, your job is to make sure that our mission gets accomplished. But that doesn't mean that our mission is actually democratic.
Right.
Or
right.
inclusive, right? So I just say all of this to say, like, it's messed up because now companies can do whatever they will.
And that's
there's no enforcements, right?
Yeah.
And the design prior to wasn't okay either because the people that was being appointed was determined by who we elect
as president
and their personal agendas. And ultimately in politics, agendas are based on dollars.
Yeah.
Who's paying the most, who's investing the most, who's giving more to the campaign is not really based on the well-being of the people. So what's y'all thoughts on that? What's your thought?
So are they saying with this being overturned that now professionals and experts will run that department without the president's input?
Well, they're saying that they're the people who are the experts with the knowledge, their interpretation no longer has to be followed by corporations. Like, they don't have to listen to the scientist that says if you dump that chemical in Lake Michigan, it
can
cause
give
cancer.
Flint bad water.
Right.
Or like, it's going to cause cancer right. or put lead in our water. That's dangerous.
The super dangerous. But I also want to point out the fact that we do have Flint in Michigan and other states with bad water. And like even Wisconsin, we have bad water. You're listening to 92.7 FM, the WMDX show. It's not the WMDX show. This is the Black Conversion show. Go ahead.
Because even with these people in place, mistakes still happen. Like Johnson Johnson is being sued on a big level for the baby powder possibly causing cancer.
Oh, it did.
Right?
It did.
And so this is that,
and predominantly
this is scary.
Black women. Yeah,
this is so scary.
But it also goes back into environmental justice. Who is most impacted by environmental pollutants? Black people and vulnerable people and poor people, underserved folks.
Yeah,
and that is a direct. I think this thing, this overturning of the Chevron doctrine, is going to go. Yes,
oh
it's
God.
Always disproportionately impacting Black, Brown immigrants.
I can't believe
and
they
other.
Even did oh, yeah. that. That is scary. That makes me very scared as a citizen in this country. Like, this country is already messed up, and now it's because that goes down to even like our laws. Mm-hmm. Who's over the CIA? Who's over the FBI? Who's over DEA?
But it's hard for me as a Black person sometimes because whether who's over these departments or agencies ever
we still
mad
lose,
at, we
right?
lose no matter what because we exist in this relationship with whiteness and white power structures where the needs of Black people and others are not prioritized and or considered. So there's a part of me that wants to be so peed, but there's another part of me that's kind of numb because what difference does it make? Because at the end of the day, the people that in order for things to change in America, the people that need to be affected for change to happen is white people.
Right.
So anytime white people aren't directly impacted, then it's kind of like, whatever, you know, this is cool, that's cool. But when we say, like, with the drug, is the opiate?
The opioids.
Yeah. When that became an issue in white communities, then we put money behind it. Then we
a
put
lot
campaigns.
Of money.
Then
yeah.
we got medication. Then we got services. But when crack hit Black communities and it was
we got nothing.
Predominantly affecting Black people, there was no
nothing.
Resources given into that. So for me as a Black person, it's hard to pick a side or even stand or even be mad or moved about things because we're so, like, we're just not considered. So it's like, okay, well, now this Chevron doctrine is happening. Now our environment is going to be impacted, but our environment's
always been impacted.
And until white people and white liberals and white progressive and white Republicans and white folks get upset about some of the decisions will continue to be made. And I don't know what that looks like because we also live in an America where white people are kicking down the door because Trump said, come to the Capitol and do this thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I don't know where white Luke, our representative. Hold on. Let's ask our white representative, Luke, our producer. Where do white people, I mean, like, what is white folks' responsibility for America and which way we go right now? Look at Luke's face.
That's all a loaded question, Brandy. I appreciate it here on a Friday morning.
After the 4th of July.
Yeah. I think everybody's got a aspect of responsibility in this. Mm-hmm. I think that there is a large part of why I do what I do is because I believe that there is a ability and responsibility to address the things that I have privilege and I recognize that privilege. Mm-hmm. And I know that not everybody can step into some of the different aspects of this work because everybody's trying to get by.
Yep.
Yeah. Everybody's trying to do their
Survive.
Own thing, their lives. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to be aware of where everybody as an individual kind of fits into that system and do the most that you can with what you have.
I like it. So white people are sponsoring white folks today.
Sponsoring.
I should have sent Luke this video. Oh my God. It would have been so funny right now for this part. I want to play it.
Luke is saying, hey, everybody has an individual responsibility to do what you can in your life, yes. Understanding that there's a lot going on every day. But one of the things I would also add to that is pay attention, right? Pay attention to what's occurring, pay attention to the conversations, and go a little deeper than the surface. Because according to Trump, we got immigrants coming here that's coming straight from prison, and it's like fear mongering, and that's not true. We do have a lot of immigration, and we do need to shut down our borders. I will agree with Trump, but not in the fear way, more so in the how do we take care of home and take care of our already homeless population and the rising cost of housing and the poverty that we're seeing across our country, and specifically the number of homeless people that are now sleeping on the streets.
We have our own issues going on, and we need to take care of that first.
Yeah.
We just don't have any room to help anyone else.
Right.
And that's
and it's hard.
We can't even help ourselves.
And it's hard for me too as a Black person. I'm just going to come back to it to be like, yeah, let's let everyone in the borders. When I see Black people every day in our own city, our own county, and in our own state suffering, and we don't have access to resources. We don't get mental health housing. Right. We get all these huge projects,
And I get it. My mother's a refugee, right? Like my mother came into this country the right way. So I get like why.
Ooh,
I come
don't
into
say
this...
a right way.
I'm...
Ooh. Ooh.
I'm going to just say she a refugee. Okay?
Right. Okay.
But
I'm going to push back though too a little bit, because I think we do. We're the greatest country in the world.
Yeah.
We got the resources. We could do it.
We could do
it. Tax the billionaires.
But
we
ain't
do it.
Doing it, because the billionaires are controlling the legislation, the president, corporations. They control our whole being, our whole socialization. They control everything. They control what we hear, see, eat, what we have access to. And how do you could overthrow capitalism in a capitalistic society?
Won't happen.
We're all driven by capital, because I want to be a billionaire.
Okay.
Look, I'd be a billionaire. I'm going to start slapping people with my money and dare you to arrest me like Trump. I got 34 convictions.
I'm buying companies and I'm changing everything. I'm overthrowing everything.
They're going to kill you, Classy. This is why I say, well, he say, look.
Mm-mm. I'm like, buy that and overthrow it.
Y'all, thank you for listening. We have so much more to talk about it. Yes, we do. Next week, we'll talk about Independence Day. We didn't get around to that. We'll talk about Trump.
We got one more segment. What are you talking about? Yeah. We got one more segment.
Oh, we confused because you said 3 or 4. We got 15, 18 minutes of recording.
I was on cue. Look, I said, wait, we got like 1 or 2.
Okay, look, Luke, you see how white power is?
He
was scared. Now, look. You're listening to The Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMZX. You'll be back. Well, we'll be back. Mm-hmm. Keep listening. We confused today. We just don't know.
That's all right.
All right. You're listening to your girl, Brandi Grayson.
With the most.
I am the hostess with the mostest. Okay. I would say most, but I do not. But the Black Humble. Conversion Show. I'm humble. Yo, okay. The Black Conversion Show with my cousin, Clyde.
Hey, y'all.
We're talking about all kind of stuff. But what I want to do is transition us into something more fun, because then we were talking about laws and Supreme Court judgments and how that, when you talk about anything that's happening in politics right now in our government.
It gets hot.
It gets hot and it gets really sad, and you feel fearful and uncertain, and you just almost like you go into a freeze, a flight or flight, a freeze or flight or whatever the
But we got to talk about it, right?
Yeah, whatever.
Because like, if we don't, we just wait until election day and we're just all like, ugh.
Well, let's move into something fun.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's move into gossip.
The gossip report, babes. Yes. So let's get into the gossip. So what is going on right now? You know, a couple weeks ago, we talked about our girl, Angel Reese.
Black Brilliance.
Yes, the famous LSU basketball player, and how she is doing so well. But guess what? She took to the internet and she is now single.
Oh, she had a man?
Yes, she
or
did.
Or girlfriend?
She had a man. Okay. She had a man. He looked real good.
He was good. He was fine. Who is he?
His dreads was tiny.
Ooh, but I like tiny dreads.
We gonna find his name out
another
time.
But I don't care about dreads because my man got a bald head, so let me keep it focused.
Okay, listen to me. So she went to the internet and went live and just said she wants to focus on her college career, focus on school. She is now single.
She ain't wrong.
So maybe we might get a little better basketball from her. She's already good, but you know, sometimes when a man out the picture, We they do a little
what
better.
When a man out the picture, you give you perfect you getting a whole. You ever pay attention to a woman that leaves a man? Girl, she didn't change her eyes, her hair, okay. her looks, her body. Listen. She working out, eating better, taking trips, loving on okay. herself.
Maybe we gonna see, but we gonna pay close attention. And speaking of basketball, I don't know if you guys heard about LeBron James.
Oh, I am
and
so
Bronny
proud of him.
James.
I heard he having sex with somebody, mama, Ooh. On the team.
I heard that too.
Ooh, who mama?
You talk about I got the gossip or do you got the
gossip? I'm just saying he doing something because he's one of his teammates' mamas.
I saw that on the Shade Room.
Who is his teammate?
I'm gonna go figure it out and then I can come back with the juice.
Oh, yeah, I heard he was married to her.
Well, what we were going with this was, if you guys didn't hear, Bronny James, LeBron James' son, yes. has been drafted to the Lakers. And some people are saying this is a Kim Kardashian.
As it should be.
What?
Y'all better praise that black man getting his son millions. He could barely play.
Barely. Don't come at Bron like that. What? No, you know what? For me, some folks were calling it nepotism.
As it should be.
They were on the internet kind of going crazy.
As it should
and
be.
They were saying that they feel like Bron paid some folks.
He ain't gotta pay nobody. He LeBron James.
You
all
think
he got
so?
To what? All gotta do is tell him if y'all want to renew my contract, I'm a yeah. free agent. Yeah. If I'm coming back, I need y'all to put my son on the roster.
Oh, he told the whole league that was what it was gonna
okay,
be.
Period.
He told the whole league that he wants to play with his son, and so
come
whoever
on.
it was like whoever drafted Bronny James
draft me
got LeBron so, as a free agent.
You think you go? He Lakers gonna
is
let Bronny him go?
Good? Is he?
Well, his brother's better. Right? His brother's coming next.
His brother's younger
than him. I believe so.
Yeah, his brother's better. So he'll be joining the Lakers soon, too.
But LeBron's getting up there. So we'll see how many years he's got left.
It don't matter. Yeah, he got that contract that was $100 and something million.
Yeah, it's going to be the first time ever that a father-son played on the court. So there's
really?
A lot of, yeah, because that's not something that's really
but
possible
wise,
with age.
Yeah,
yeah. LeBron James.
He's 40.
No, he's 39.
That's 40 in black people.
I think he really 49. No, that Luke said 39. I don't believe that.
Yeah, he's been in the league for 21 years.
Jesus.
But he started as an 18-year-old right out of high school.
I love LeBron James. Everything about
him.
He
is
I love
cool.
him as
he's
a daddy.
Cool.
I love him as a player. I mean, he take care. Look, he don't play
you
about his wife.
Him?
Yeah, I love him because that's
you
how black him? Men should be represented.
Oh,
out in public.
Now LeBron is the black
yes.
man. Oh, Lord. But we don't know if it's nepotism, but that's how they getting down
it
in California.
Be.
You know,
it
Kim just
be.
Did that with Northwest and The Lion King on
Look,
the Hollywood.
This is how America is built, how
no,
corporations
that's true.
Are built.
That's true.
People don't, the people that become bosses and CEOs aren't because they deserved it or own it. It's because
their
the
mom
owner
and daddy
knows somebody
found it.
Who
yeah.
knew somebody and they put them in that place. That's why mm-hmm. it's very, and only way that you make it in America or even locally or whatever is through relationships
yeah.
and networking, not because of your skills, because the people with the best skills or abilities are not the ones that's chosen.
Yeah.
And as I said last week, y'all, and specifically with black people, we often choose black people that are mediocre
yeah.
or aren't reaching the heights of excellence or brilliance.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a fact. And
okay.
they're not wrong, right? Because I think that black folks need mm-hmm. to be continuing their family legacy
Look,
in areas where there's millions
and
hundreds of dollars.
You think I ain't
going
to hire my kids
in
the company
wrong,
that I built?
You're not
Matter
wrong.
Matter of fact, my kids work for me today, two of them, because why wouldn't I provide them with a job if I'm providing
and
other
people
with
And 20 years from now,
jobs?
One of them or somebody's going to be the CEO.
I don't know if my kids want to run Urban Triage. My kids is like...
They will.
Mm-mm. My
I'm
daughter was like,
it.
Get your staff. These people is hard to manage. They just always... Nobody
But it'll be a whole new staff by the time... She get old or they get old.
My baby is about
me.
To leave out.
UrbanTriageIsBomb.com. You just can't hand that over to anybody,
Ooh,
right?
I'm gonna hand it to you, Clyde, because I got about a good three years.
I'll be an Intrium. I'm here as an Intrium. I just said to help my girl, right? No. So yeah, big ups to Bronny James
yeah,
and the things that
ups.
They're doing over there.
Yeah.
Before we close out, you know the BET Awards just happened.
Oh yeah.
And
I missed it.
Dumb black folks. I ain't watch it either, so I'm gonna go back and watch it. So don't judge me, y'all.
We're gonna tell you more about it next week.
Yeah, we just gonna get y'all who won, and then we're gonna go watch it. So best female artist and pop artist went to my girl SZA.
I love SZA. Yes.
She was going up against people like Beyonce, Doja Cat. Them some big names. Beyonce losing an award. Only at the BET Awards, though, because Beyonce don't show up.
Well, she's below her.
Yeah. I wouldn't give an award either. She treated me like that.
You're listening to the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, and my cousin, Clyde. So we're doing the Gossip
Best
Report.
So R&B and pop artist?
Usher. I love Usher.
I love Usher, too.
He is so dope. And then he went off.
He's so fine.
Can we talk? Oh, he is fine. Ooh. And can we talk about...
That's the black man we want, not Brian.
Okay.
Okay. My wife's going to see him. My wife's going to see his concert.
Luke getting cheated on. Yes, I remember that.
No. That was Justin Timberlake. That was a few weeks ago. Yeah. She's also going to Usher later this year.
Okay. Look, his wife just dipping off, seeing all these men, Luke.
She likes to see this show.
Check your wife. No, get... But can we talk about his speech at the BET Awards? We should have had a clip of that. He went in, y'all.
Yeah, next.
He went in about
we're going to have to,
yeah.
Because there was a few speeches that were pretty good. Mm-hmm. There was a few moments. So last but not least, best female hip hop artist went to
Nicki Minaj. I like Nicki, but not as much as Megan.
I was her concert in Milwaukee, and I loved it. She did a good job.
Her butt looks real not
it did
proportionate.
Look bad. It did.
Like, how you got all that money and your booty is not off? It's like it don't smooth into her leg.
It ain't
leg.
Like Brandi Grayson booty, because I told y'all can't see her.
Brandi Grayson booty, she wears a faja.
She got a sundress up.
Somebody said you got a butt job. Girl, that is a faja. Let me give you the Amazon link to smooth out the butt.
Okay.
Lift it up a little bit so you can look like a superstar.
Yes. But that is our BET Award winners.
Okay,
until
y'all.
Next time.
We love you. Thank you for staying tuned to Black Conversions Show on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl Brandi Grayson and cousin Clyde. We'll see you next week.
Love y'all.